thing. I know one thing for certain, and that is, if you were looking to me for any kind of wisdom at all, about the only thing I could tell you is just, you're gonna have to read your Bible.
That's right.
Just read your Bible.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know. I don't have anything to give you other than that. Just read the Bible, and all the answers are in there. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Is there any Kleenexes around here?
Yep, right here. Right here.
Thank you. I don't know. Probably just the milkshake.
The coffee's back there, man.
I had one on the way down, so got to have that vitamin C.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
But all right.
You're all right. We're all right.
What a shot. Well, I'm going to be in Luke today. Luke chapter 9, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 9. And can I swing this around here?
Do it.
I'm going to steal your clock. Are you timing me or?
Yeah.
No. You're recording.
It's your trial.
That's
true. We're recording your trial.
All right. Let me see if I got the. There's Moses' sin right there. We don't want. We're not going to worry about that right now. But Luke chapter 9, basically down at the tail end of that. And I already prayed, but I'll pray again. Down in verse 57. The Bible says this in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Boy, I'll tell you, that's my heart. You folks are here on a Thursday night, and we could probably all say, that's me. Lord, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm following you, and that's what I'm going to do. And Jesus came up with one of the strangest answers in the Bible. And he said unto him, the foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Right? And another said unto him, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Talk about, he just said something strange to that first fella. He's downright rude and to set to the second fella. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. That has got to be one of the most rudest, crudest. Boy, if I ever talked to people like that, I wouldn't have any kind of a congregation. And another said, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, another strange answer. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't know if your preacher's preached on this or if somebody else has ever preached on this, but you got three different fellas. Two of them are, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And Jesus asked the third fellow, I want you to follow me. And then he comes up with just some downright strange responses to what they had to say. Anyway, let me pray again. Father, I'm asking that you would bless the reading, the teaching, the preaching, the assimilating, the absorbing of the Word of God. Help us, dear God. We need help. And again, Lord, I'm asking that you just work through your Word, honor your Word. Father, I'm asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So two men asking the Lord, to follow the Lord, telling the Lord, I'm going to follow you. And the third one said, Jesus tells the man to follow him. I want to start off by saying this. The passage is not dealing with salvation, okay? It's dealing with discipleship. And it's important. The two are not the same. It's important that we're able to make that distinction.
Sure.
That the two are not the same. There's countless thousands of sinners over the last 2,000 years that have gotten saved, but maybe never followed Jesus a day in their life. You say, well, how could somebody, well, just you're going to have to go there and read 2 Peter chapter 1, right?
Amen.
You have to read that. You got the Calvinistic heresy, you know, it says, lordship salvation, you know, if the Lord isn't Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. And so therefore your works have to prove that you're saved. If you have no works, then Jesus isn't your Lord. Part of me wishes that that were the case. Because we'd get a whole lot more done, man, if you could just hold that over people's heads. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But salvation hinges on the answer to one question. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you acknowledged the fact that Jesus Christ paid off your sin debt and that you've relied on him, and I'm relying on the fact that he did that when he shed his blood on the cross? And I've asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin, wash my sin away, and make me a child of God. Have you done that? The answer to that question is whether or not you're saved. Salvation hinges on your answer to that question.
That's right.
What have you done with Jesus? Are you saved? Listen, how many of you have been around for three or four, five years or more? How many? 5 years. Just about everybody, okay? So I'm not giving you anything new, okay? This is old news, okay? Not fake news.
Yeah.
This is the real deal.
Yeah.
This is the real deal right here.
Yes, sir.
1 John chapter 12, I'm sorry, John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "For as many as have received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Have you received Jesus Christ? Have you received him? Romans chapter 10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It's a promise from God, right? 1 John chapter 5, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." God wants you to know. What have you done with Jesus? And how you answer that question, are you saved? So salvation has nothing to do with anything that you or I could add to what Jesus Christ did. And I'm not telling you anything new, but I'm just saying what we're reading here in chapter 9 is not salvation.
Amen.
It's not salvation.
That's good.
Salvation has nothing to do with anything that you or I could add to the finished work of Jesus Christ. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ plus what?
Nothing.
Plus nothing. Right? That's it.
That's it. It's over.
And so you're saved by the blood of Christ. And my question is, do you remember the day that you passed from death unto life? Do you remember the day that you called out to God and asked him? I don't know where everybody came from here. I got folks in my church, and I ask them, you know, they'll give me a salvation testimony, but it's always a little murky. But it's like, I know, it's like these people are following Jesus. They're disciples of Jesus Christ. I realized Judas was a disciple of Jesus Christ, but he had ulterior motives. I don't believe he was saved, but these people, it's like, they're showing up. They're showing up three times a week. They're serving God, but I'm asking them when did they pass from death unto life? And it's like, and they just because wherever they were when they first got a hold of the Bible, whoever was teaching them wasn't teaching them a clear distinction, which is why I want to make it a clear distinction. I know your pastor is a pastor of distinction, right? And he wants to make things distinct, not extinct.
Yes.
Distinct,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no.
There's a distinct difference between discipleship and salvation. And everyone should know, everyone should have a biblical answer. They should be able to quote scripture. This is how I know I'm saved, right? I confess I remember the day that I bowed my knee when somebody gave me the gospel and showed me that God loved me, but that my sin separated me from God. But God didn't wait for me to clean up my act while I was yet a sinner. Christ died for me. And the wages of my sin is death, and I know that that death is death in hell. All liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't want to go there. Oh God, I thought I was doing okay. I thought I was doing all right. I was just leaving you alone, and I was just living my life independently of God, but I wasn't as bad as that guy over there, so I thought I was okay. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Have you been doing that? Have you confessed with your mouth? Well, no, I never, no. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? I really haven't thought about that, whether or not the resurrection is real or not. Well, you need to consider that the resurrection is real. Go take a look. We live in the information age. Go find out, right? You're going to find a bunch of people that say, no, it's a hoax. You're going to find a bunch of people that are highly learned that set out to disprove it and ended up writing books in support of it. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I know the day I got saved. Do you know the day you got saved? Discipleship is a different matter altogether. We're not talking about salvation. We're done talking about salvation. If you don't know if you're saved, you need to go talk to your preacher. I just gave you the gospel. Get it squared away with him, and he'll take you right down the right path. Now we're going to talk about discipleship, because that's what our passage is all about. Okay? Discipleship has to do with your active, daily walk with the Lord as a believer. Don't ask me if it's labor or if it's work, because I haven't thought it through yet. I haven't even begun to think it through. I have a discipleship at my church, okay? A discipleship course. And I've taken several people through that course, but just because they went through that course in discipleship does not make them disciples. I still can't get them to show up Sunday night. I can't get them to teach a Sunday school class. I can't get them to, you know, bring their families in. I can't get them to, you know, to get involved in the church and the music program or any other program. I can't get them involved. But they went through the discipleship course. Are they disciples? No, they're not disciples. Just because you've completed some lessons in discipleship doesn't make you a disciple. It just makes you more aware that the Lord wants you to be a disciple. And it makes you more aware of what the issues are. And maybe you got a little bit of a handle on the issues. But are you actually a disciple? Are you following Jesus Christ? Are you following him? Right? Discipleship has to do with your active daily walk with the Lord as a believer. So here in Luke chapter 9, as a result of the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we're given three marks, three tests of discipleship. Okay? And I'm going to try to get you out of here by, you know, a reasonable hour. The first test, the first disciple, the first man says, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And the man's got good intentions, but what apparently based on what the way Jesus responded to him, the man really hadn't thought it through. Does God know our heart? Does God know our thoughts?
Yes, he does.
God knows our thoughts.
Yes.
And he knows that maybe this man means business. Maybe he's being honest. And that he wants, he has a genuine desire to follow me, but he has not thought that through. He hasn't thought it through yet. There's consequences to following Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There are ramifications to following Jesus Christ, okay? Anybody here know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
There's consequences. Yes, sir. There's some people that just are not going to take your decision very kindly.
Oh, yeah.
According to verse 58 there, Jesus' response, if you follow Christ, you might have to sell your house. Right? Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not all. Delay said, what are you laughing at? Are you selling your house?
We are. Yeah. It's fine, yeah. We're going to be moving to Rochester, Lord willing, this year.
Well, you might not have aught to lay your head. That's why God made rest stops.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Boxes.
Ouch.
Hey, been there.
Yeah, no question.
Done that.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay. I'm not saying anything I haven't. Don't think I'm looking down my nose, because
no, right. Yes,
I've been there.
Of course you have.
And I'm telling you, you know, I think it was the Sunday following the day that I called my preacher the day I was reading my Bible and the Lord called me full time into ministry. I got on the phone with my preacher, and I told my preacher, I said, preacher, I was reading my Bible and just a little bit ago, and God spoke to my heart. I believe God has just called me full time into the ministry. I was 50, okay, and I had one. My son was just getting out of high school, ready for college. I had a daughter that was 2 years behind him, getting ready. It's like, this doesn't make any sense. I shut down my business. I had a nice flourishing contracting, you know, a home remodeling business, and God said, you need to shut that thing down, huh? You need to shut it down. Well, what am I going to do? No answer. Mm-hmm. Well, God says, shut it down. I've been praying to him for years. Lord, is this it? Is this? Am I going to be banging up trim and talking to people about their shutters and what color shutters would you like? Oh, I want the green ones. Well, I think we need to have the blue ones. Oh, but I really think the green would go better with them. And I'm like, I'm sitting there breaking up this family over some plastic stinking shutter. Lord, there's got to be more to my Christian walk than this. Is this it? Is this what you got for me? Is this what you want? I mean, I prayed that out loud for years. Banging shingles, installing windows, banging trim around the windows, you know, making the aluminum, putting it on there, nailing up siding, boom, 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 you know, nail after nail after nail after nail. Is this it, Lord?
Gotta start somewhere.
Gotta start somewhere. Hey, I was already on my way. I was already teaching a Sunday school. I'd already started the bus ministry. I'd already done, and I'm getting ahead of myself. I'd already been down to the city mission, picking them up by the bus load, picking kids up in the worst neighborhood, teaching Sunday school class for you know, 15 years until we found my replacement, right? Which we never found until I went full-time in the Lord, and then finally somebody stepped up. Leading the music department for 10 years, okay? So it's not like I was just getting started. But I just felt it's like, Lord, if that's as far as I'm going, that's as far as I'm going. Yeah. It's okay, you know, but is this it? Where am I? Sell your house. I was gonna tell you. So I told my preacher, I believe the Lord called me full time. Well, I walked into church Sunday morning, right? First guy walks up to me, so did you sell your house yet? What are you talking about? Well, the preacher said you got called full-time into ministry. Is your house up for sale? No, I didn't know that was part of the deal. Well, if you're full-time, you're gonna go around. You're going to go around and help these other churches and these missionaries. You know, how are you going to do that and maintain a house? It's like, I haven't processed. I don't know. God hadn't said sell the house, so I didn't sell the house. If God tells me to sell the house, I'll sell the house. That was 2003. Still haven't sold the house. The Apostle Paul said this. We're talking about following Jesus, okay? Are we in a hurry tonight?
No, no.
Okay. The Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians, he said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Right? If I'm not following Christ, don't follow me, okay? But if I'm following Christ, then follow what I'm doing. I'm trying to steer you right. He said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's what he said. Let me read to you what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, unless you want to turn there really fast. But I'm just going to start reading in verse 23. He's talking about other people that claim to be ministers of Christ. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I'm more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times. That's 200 lashes minus 4, 196. No, minus 5, 195. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have spent, I have been in the deep. How are you guys doing? Is it, you're full-time in the ministry. Have you gone through anything like this yet?
Pretty close, yes, sir. Pretty close.
Once I was stoned. How many times have you been stoned?
Well.
How many times were you beaten with 39 stripes?
No.
How many times were you imprisoned because of the ministry? Okay. Conditional clause.
There. Yeah.
How many times you've been shipwrecked? Okay. So I think you're doing pretty good.
Doing good.
You have eaten a
shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. You've been robbed yet?
No.
Okay. In perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And then this kills me. Verse 28, he says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Then there's the ministry. You got all the externals. And then, oh yeah, the ministry. That's enough to drive some people. Right? My dad used to say, that's enough to make a preacher put his Bible down. Sometimes a ministry is enough to make a preacher want to put his Bible down. But all those other things, I'm saying the cost of discipleship, the cost. I'm not trying to discourage anybody. Paul's saying beside all the hazards and the perils, then there's the daily tasks of the ministry itself. And the first ministry I got in, I mentioned already, was the bus ministry, shirt and tie. I'm a cutoff shorts and t-shirt guy, okay? Well, not now, but back then, okay? Back then, you know, where the pockets hang 2 inches? Yeah. The pockets hang down 2 inches below the, you know what I'm saying? That's, you know, we're going out for visitation, my first time. Cut off jeans. The pockets 2 inches below the shorts, right? Flip flops and a see-through t-shirt.
Oh, no.
Okay. We were meeting at Howard Johnson's at the time, okay, in Blaisdell. So you know, I just come walking in there and you know, and the preacher just looks at me in his mouth. You're going like that? Yeah. How could you think of going like that? It's hot. Because you can't go like that. And he says, this time, you go, next time, you got to have no jeans, no t-shirts, got to have a collar and a pair of pants. Okay? You want to follow Jesus?
That's right.
I gave up.
Yes, sir.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Obviously not. You know what I'm wearing?
Yep.
Pair of pants. shirt with a collar on it.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Yep.
You're going to drive a bus, shirt and tie. Well, I'm just not a shirt and tie kind of guy. You're going to drive the bus. So we'd get, I don't think there was even Dickie Donuts back then, maybe, or Tim Hortons. I don't know if they had Tim Hortons yet. But we'd go to the donut place on Saturday night. Hey, can we swing by tomorrow morning and pick up your day olds? We'd walk out of there Sunday morning with a garbage bag, like a contractor's garbage bag, full of day-old donuts. My wife would make a couple pots of coffee, put it in a carafe. We'd hop in a bus, head down to the City Mission.
Yeah,
right? Hey! Walk in there. Hey, I got some hot coffee and some donuts out there in the bus. Anybody want to go to church? Right? Bus is full. And go for a ride in the country. And have some donuts. And, you know, and then, of course, I met Merlin the Magician. How many? Merlin the Magician. You never heard of Merlin the Magician?
No.
You never rode the bus ministry. You never went down to the City Mission, Buffalo City Mission.
No, she hasn't.
So I met Merlin the Magician. I met John the Baptist. Not a guy that thought he was John the Baptist. He was John the Baptist. Okay?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the guy, the, you know, one guy would come in off the bus, get off the bus. In front. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. Here's the great part. We didn't have a building. So, you know, we're, I don't know if you've ever been up there in the Hamburg, you know, area, Mile Strip Road. There's a BJ's Plaza up there.
Uh-huh.
Before BJ's Plaza was the Regency Hotel.
Uh-huh.
They knocked down the Regency Hotel to put up BJ's. We met at the Regency. So I pulled up to the front door of the front of the lobby, and I drop all these guys off from the City Mission. And it, you know, one guy would pull his shirt tail out, stuff it back in his pants. Right? The hotel manager comes up to the preacher and goes, do you think you can have your church members stop panhandling the clientele in the main, in the main lobby? So we got a bus on. So now let's say, I'm just saying, you got no idea where it's going to take you and you're going to follow the Lord. Now they actually got me wearing pants. They got me wearing a shirt and a tie. Brother Jim, do you think you can stop smoking on the bus? Preacher, I'm not smoking while they're on the bus. I mean, it's either before or after, don't we? I'm telling you, you got no idea. Now I got to quit smoking, right? And not because the preacher told me, but if I'm going to have an effect on people, how in the world is that going to look?
That's right. Exactly right, brother. Exactly right.
So now we got all these guys coming in, and the preacher says, Brother Jim, we need to start discipling these people. I said, Preacher, look at me. I need to be discipled. I haven't been discipled. I don't even know what discipled means. Well, here's a book. It's called Building Blocks of the Faith. I don't know if you ever heard of it. I had never heard of it, and I haven't heard of it since. But I learned the book. And so Building Blocks of the Faith, it was like, you know, basic ABCs of, you know, but it was a, you know, it was a paperback book like that, and it had all the doctrines in there, that, you know, the Baptist distinctives that we would, you know, all that kind of stuff, salvation, you know, the inerrancy of the scripture, heaven, hell, all that kind of stuff, you know, the Trinity, the reality of Satan being the personality of Satan and all that kind of stuff, and the deity of Jesus Christ, all those things. Well, it's like, I've never learned that stuff. The best way to learn, Brother Jim, is to read the book and start teaching other people. And as you teach them, you'll learn it better than they will.
Come on.
He was right.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I kind of would like to have been able to afford to have sit and at least listen to somebody, you know, splanify it once. But, so anyway, that was that. Then it's like, okay, so somebody took over that bus, we got another bus. So somebody wanted to take that bus, now they're going down to the City Mission. Now my wife and I, we're taking our son, he's in his little nip-nap thing, right? He's still, you remember those little nip-naps?
Oh, yeah.
And so he's 35 now. And he wasn't then. He was like a nip-nap. It's a little like a kangaroo. It's a little thing. It's like a lunch pail.
Oh.
It's a big lunch pail. You put a baby in there, and then you can rock it, and you pick it up like your lunch pail, and you walk off with it. Right? And
you're glad things have gotten better since 35 years ago.
There were no seatbelts in those days. So I'm saying we went into the worst neighborhood. We started, you know, started dealing with the kids and disarming the kids before they'd get on the bus and on Sunday mornings. You know, ma'am, your son got on the bus with this morning. Oh, not my boy. Yes, ma'am. If you don't want it, I'll take it. I'll keep it. No, mama, don't let him take it. Don't let him keep my knife. And I'm just saying. You know, now all of a sudden, you know, you fast forward 18 years and the Lord calls me full time into the ministry after 18 years of all that stuff, right? Of the city mission, Sunday school, bus ministry, teaching a junior boys Sunday school class. I never had a regular room to teach. We couldn't rent a room at the hotel. We were already renting a room for the nursery, and we already had rented a room for the a conference room for the church service. So it's like, well, so preacher, where am I supposed to have this discipleship class? Out in a bus. That was my Sunday school room. Okay, so I'm sitting there, you know, put my book up on the back of the seat there, and just start, you know, teaching Sunday school. Well, then it was time to start teaching the little kids, the junior boys. And we didn't have any room, no rooms for that. So we ran a power cord out to the bus, and we'd have the kids sit, and we'd pull all the seats out of a defunct bus and put regular folding chairs in there. And that's our that was my Sunday school room, I mean, for like years. Winter, summer, doesn't matter. And that was it. Then fast forward 18 years, and God calls me. Into the ministry full time, and I'm going around the country trying to raise support. Right, I got three teenage daughters with me. My son decided to stay home and work, and plus my wife and the dog, and we're going from here to Texas and back in Nova Scotia, and we're going all over the place, right? I'd sit there and have coffee in the morning, and there's my daughters waking up, face all wrinkled and everything else, pulling black dog hair off their block, you know, off their face. It's like, man, I gotta get me some kind of a trail. I can't be having my kids sleep like this. I'm saying, son of man ought not where to lay his head, right? You got no idea where you're gonna end up. I bought a 38-foot travel trailer, 38 feet, five of us. And 38 feet. I take up 38 feet. I had to put in two additional, I bought two 50-foot power cords and cut the ends off and made holes in the side of the travel trailer and put one in the back and ran one up toward the front and put two additional 15-amp circuits in so that the girls could run their hair curlers and their hair dryers and this, that, and everything else. And the heaters, I was putting electric heaters in there. You go and start burning propane in one of those things, you're out of propane in 3 days. So it's like, I can't afford that. I'm just saying, you got no idea. I'm saying, then there was the actual ministry. The actual ministry, okay? We saw just about every kind of church you could imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I love this church. And I love the spirit here.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah. I've been to a number of churches where, man, you walk up there. I'm serious. There's a kid. The kid can't be more than 9 or 10 years old. Shirt, tie, standing there at the door, holding the door. Never met me before. He's never seen me. Hello, Brother Donath. Glad you could be here with us this morning. Because they are so far beyond the cutting edge, they know what's going on. The kids know who's coming. and they're perfect gentlemen, perfect ladies, and holding the door, calling you by name, and you feel like it's like I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. Yeah. And you go to other churches, and they won't even give you the time of day.
That's
awful. I know that. It's like, preacher, I made this like 3 months ago so that I could be here. Well, we'll give you the wireless mic. You stand up and take a couple minutes before the service, and give a testimony, and that's what we got. So, you know, you get a wire. Hi, my name is Brother Jim Donath. I got this Helps ministry, and then the usher's like, you know, to get the microphone back. You're done. You know. Hey, Brother Donath and his family, they sing, so buy some of their CDs so they got some gas money. I mean, we saw all kinds of churches.
I'll bet. Yep.
And it's like some I'll never go back to again unless God says, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
boy. If he picks me up by the back of the neck, okay, I'll go in there. But there's church, and I saw some churches, wonderful congregation, and just have a pastor that's a jerk. And then I saw churches where the people treated the pastor like garbage.
Yeah.
And the pastor had the sweetest spirit about him and his wife, right? All kinds of churches. You say, why did he go through all that? I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't trade it for all the tea in China. I wouldn't trade it. I'd do it all again. If I had to do it tomorrow, I'd do it tomorrow. My kids, on the other hand, I don't know about them, but I would. And I'd encourage everybody in this room, if you could have the experiences of going to different churches, not checking things out, you know, for church membership. I'm talking about just going there
to see
what's going on in Christianity.
Yes, sir.
Just to see what's out there.
Yes, sir.
I wish you could do it. You'll have to learn to be flexible.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you absolutely 100% have figured out in life, you don't have it figured out.
That's right.
You know why?
Because yep.
Somebody else has it figured out differently, and unfortunately, you're on their turf.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And if you're going to be adamant about having it your way, you ain't going to make it.
Yep.
You're going to have to learn to be flexible. And if you're stubborn, if you're obstinate, got an EMT guy? Fireman?
Fireman.
Okay. And I hope everybody's okay.
Yes, help him, Lord.
And Lord help him. Whoever, Lord help him to get there safely and to do a good job and be a good testimony. Yes. Father, I'm asking that you, whatever the emergency is, that you be there and that the people know you. And maybe this brother here is able to lead someone to Christ tonight. Who knows? Father, I'm asking these things in the name of the Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You gotta learn to be flexible. You can't be stubborn. You can't be obstinate. If you're stubborn and obstinate, and you're trying to be in the ministry, it's just not going to work because there's too many people in it that are stubborn and obstinate.
Yes.
And they're not going to budge. And if you're going to butt heads with all those people, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yes, sir.
So somebody's going to have to give in. Guess what?
You,
disciple.
Yep, that's right.
It's going to have to be you.
Yep.
Learn how to be compliant when you disagree, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, yea, all of you subject yourselves one to another. Okay? Submission, I don't know if I said this the last time I was here, but submission begins when total agreement ends.
Ah, that's good, brother. That's
submission good. Begins when agreement ends.
Yep.
Okay? If everybody's in agreement, where's the submission? Nobody submitted to anything.
That's good, brother.
Right?
It really is good. Yes, sir.
I'm saying, are you ready to quit yet? Are you ready to quit?
No, sir. I am not ready to quit.
You ready to quit yet? I don't know who else is. I don't know. Preacher, I don't think you don't seem like you're ready to quit yet. And I don't know who else is doing anything here for the Lord. I don't know what your ministries are, but are you ready to quit? Okay? And if you're not and you want to go forward, cheer up because things can get a whole lot worse.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But if you want to follow Jesus, there's consequences, there's ramifications. And Jesus is telling this man, you need to think this through.
Yes, sir.
You need to think it through. I thought it through while, by the seat of my pants. I'm still thinking it through. Yeah, I still don't have it figured out. I don't even know the difference between work and labor, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I just learned about that tonight.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
There's a difference. So anyway, I'm just saying, a submission begins where agreement ends, and some of you here tonight were probably done when I said shirt and tie. I got a guy in my, he will not. I will not. I won't.
Yep. We got him.
It's like, man, we really need an usher. But if you're going to be an usher, it's like we really want you to be an example. We want you to look like you mean business. I can't believe the preacher wore a tie to dinner tonight. Last year, I brought my tie, and he goes, oh, no, man, it's not like... And so this time I said, okay, well, I'm just...
Set him up.
So this time, I'll wear this shirt, and I won't wear a tie. He shows up for dinner with a tie on.
Every time.
Tell him.
Wait till the next time.
Wait till next time. Cut off so the flip-flops. I'll have to sit like this. Like George Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
And where am I? Okay. I'm just saying, I got people there. They're just not going to do it. They're not going that far. I am not putting on a tie. I will not wear a dress. Right? For the ladies.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
No sound bites. No sound bites. So let's go on to the second guy. I'm saying there's ramifications to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following Jesus? How am I doing? Am I supposed to be done already?
No.
You're doing fine, brother. Yep. You know, we go till 9 o'clock. You know?
Okay.
You got it out before that. 9 o'clock is generally when people expect to go home.
Well, I'll put it into.
They do want to eat a snack.
What's that?
They do want to eat a snack, though.
Between now and 9?
Usually, yeah. But there's nobody here who looks like they exist.
All right, the second guy, verse 59, okay? unlike the first guy, okay, and unlike the third guy, Jesus says to another in verse 59 there, he says, 59, he says, follow me, just like he said to Levi back in Luke chapter 5, okay? But if you go back to look at Luke 5, which we won't for the sake of time, if you went back there to look at Luke 5, you'll see that when Jesus saw Levi at the receipt of custom, and he said, follow me, and Levi went, I'm done, dropped everything, and followed Jesus.
Amen.
That's what he did, okay? And this man says, suffer me, okay? Suffer me to go up. Bury my father. In other words, allow me, permit me, let me first go and bury my father. Doesn't seem very unreasonable.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem unreasonable at all, right? Jesus' answer? Let the dead bury the dead. Oh my goodness. Welcome to the ministry. It's like, Lord, I'm willing to follow you, but my daddy just died, and you know, we got the funeral, and then we got the banquet afterwards, and then I'm ready to follow you. And Jesus says, listen, he's saying, listen, let the dead bury their dead. What is he talking about? Ephesians chapter 2 hasn't been written yet, but he's basically referring to Ephesians chapter 2, which just hasn't been written yet. Ye hath he quickened who are dead in your trespasses and sins. Right? Let lost people go and worry about burying the lost people, other dead people. Go preach the kingdom of God. Go and preach. And I'm saying, it doesn't come out that way initially. Initially, it comes out extremely rude, crude, crass, okay, calloused. And I'll tell you what, Judgment Day is going to be shocking for some folks.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. When we go before Jesus Christ and see the type of a, I don't want to call him an individual, whatever, what kind of a God he is, and have him speak to us, I think we're going to be shocked.
Yes, sir.
At how he responds to us.
Mm-hmm. He's a man's man. Yes, sir.
Let those that are dead bury the dead, okay? Let those that are dead in their trespasses, and let them go bury the dead. It's more important. It's more urgent to preach the gospel, preach salvation, okay? I was talking about the kingdom of God, okay? That's the kingdom inside here, okay? And you get to accept a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Sure. You can experience the kingdom of God when you get born again.
Sure.
You don't have to wait for the millennium. You start today, okay? And with the kingdom of God, as far as I'm concerned. And but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And what is he saying? People need to hear about Jesus. People need to hear Jesus, and your lost loved ones need to hear about Jesus. You're going to have dead people all your life, but people need to hear about Jesus. When you're going to the funerals, preach Jesus. And it's far more important to preach the kingdom of God. It's far more important to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ than to bury corpses. I mean, He's a pretty plain, I mean, we got mixed company right now. I will not even say what I'm thinking right now. But God is very explicit.
Yes, sir.
Sure in some is. Things.
Absolutely.
Extremely explicit.
Yes, sir.
And so Jesus comes first, right?
That's right.
Others second, yourself last, right? Joy, J-O-I. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Understand, okay? Jesus comes first. It's important that you know who Jesus is. You got to know who he is. You got to be able to tell people about Jesus in order to be a witness and to be able to witness the transforming of a soul. You have to be able to explain. You know, there's people who have been saved for years and years and years, and all of a sudden they make an impact on somebody in their family, and it's, Pastor, can you come over and lead my mother to the Lord? Man, you've been coming to my church for 15 years. Can't you do it? You know, it's like you want to say that. I mean, I mean, they're laying in their hospital beds. I've never met them. It's awkward. But I go. I mean,
of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll stop everything. I'll come down. You know, I led one guy to the Lord. He couldn't talk. All he could do is he could do this, and you know, he's like in a state. He's like not comatose, but he's like stroke, and he's on his way out. And I'm saying, just you know. Just raise a finger if you understand what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And he's responding with a finger like this, and giving him the plan of salvation. And it's like, look, I'm going to pray. Are you willing? Would you like to pray and ask the Lord to save you? You know, and it's like, okay, then pray with me. I'll do the talk, and you just agree with me. And now, did you just ask the Lord to save you? You know, and it's like, you know, and the son is sitting there and he's like bawling his eyes out. Dad just got saved. But I'm saying, if you're walking with the Lord long enough, you ought to know how to lead somebody to Christ. Man, that could take some time. The first time I was telling you about the bus ministry, and we're out there one Saturday afternoon, and I'm out there, I'm passing out gospel tracts, and the preacher went that way, I went this way. And we're covering double the territory. Here comes three teenagers. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm brand new at this. I'm past the cutoff gene stage. Okay? But I'm not much past it. Okay? So I have no idea what I'm doing. And it's like, and here comes three teenagers. Hey, you guys, come on over here. What? You guys wanna get saved? You wanna hear about Jesus? I'm thinking, it's like, they're going to cuss me out and say all kinds of weird things. I'm going to have to control my anger and not jump on them, you know. And instead they said, yeah. What do I do? I don't have any idea what to say. Well, come here, fellas. Looky here. This is what this track says right here. And I start reading them the track like I knew what I'm talking about, right? And I said, now see, it says here, God loves you, but you're a sinner, and God. And I just start reading the gospel tract to him. I learned how to lead a soul to Christ. Now you guys want to ask the Lord to save you? Yeah, you do. Okay. And then pray. And I'm sitting there praying the sinner's prayer there in the back of the gospel tract. And then I ran over and told my preacher about it. And he says, well, we got to go back, because he didn't have confidence that I was going to do it right. So he wanted to go back over there and see those guys again. And they prayed with him too. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, but you got to get your feet wet somehow. You got to learn how to do it. You got to walk with Jesus, okay? You got to take the time and walk with him, okay? Let the dead bury their dead. People need to hear about Jesus Christ. God will use me, a flipped out LSD freak, right? Former. No sound bites.
Yeah.
She's going to have fun editing this, isn't she?
No editing.
I'm saying, do you care about your moms? Do you care about your dads?
Yeah,
that's good. Then you're going to have to walk with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And there's going to be times in your life where they want you to be there with them. And you're going to have to say, I'm sorry.
That's right.
I can't right now. And so many stories I could tell you. You know, dinner at my parents' house was 1 o'clock. Okay, Dad, I'll be there at 2:30. What do you mean you'll be there at 2:30? I just got done telling you it's 1 o'clock. Well, at 1 o'clock, I'll be dropping these kids off, and I got to drop them off. I'll have that done probably by around 2. I got to drop the bus off over there in West Seneca and then run from West Seneca back over to Hamburg. I think I can make it by about 2:30. We're not holding dinner till 2:30. I'm not asking you to. And that went on for years. Years.
Yes, sir.
I believe my daddy got saved. A couple of years before, I believe, I think I gave you the testimony about my mom in the hospital, right? Dementia, the whole thing, after 30 years of trying to witness to him. But I had to make a break. It's like, okay, I'm not going to be there at 1 o'clock. No, I'm not going to be able to be there then. Sorry, guys, it's 4:30. I got to go. 4:30, you just got here. Well, I got here at 2:30. Well, where are you going? Going to church. Going to church? You already been there. Why are you going so early? Got to go pick people up in the van.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
I'm going.
Exactly right.
I'm following.
Sir. Yes, sir.
And I got Saturday. I got all day. I got Saturday afternoon. I got Sunday night after church. I got, you know, right now, I don't have this time. Sorry.
That's right.
You can schedule your family reunion exactly when I'm having church. I'll invite the family to come to church, and then I'll go to the family reunion. You know, I think I'm actually starting to get across to some people in my church that they could do that.
That's right, brother.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
Based on this.
That's right.
Based on what I'm telling you.
That's good.
And where am I? Okay. Anyway, that's the second guy. Third test, okay? And let me move along here. 61, verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And it's like he's like the first guy, okay? This guy volunteers, okay? But he's got an excuse. He wants to put it off. He wants to take care of something. He goes, but let me first. Let me first. I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first. Let me finish school. Let me finish my college. I need to buy this car. But first I need to pay off this car. But first I need to remodel my bathroom. But first I need to remodel my living room. But first I need to remodel my basement. But first I need to pay off my mortgage. But first I need to trim the hedges. But first I need to trim the, I need to clean the fishbowl. But first I need to clean up the dog poop. But first I mean, people got so many excuses.
Yes, sir.
But first.
Yes, sir.
But first.
Help us, Lord.
Okay?
Help us.
And Jesus is saying to him, no man having put his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You're going nowhere, buddy. You can't plow like this. You're not going to plow rows like that. You got to keep your eye on the mark. You got to teach people that when they're mowing lawns, right?
Yeah.
For the first time. What are you trying to do? Write your name in the lawn?
Wait, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, that's what it looks like. Some people are using a lawnmower for the first time. Then you got to tell them, no, you got to make it straight, man. Make it look good. Okay? You got to pick a point down there and aim for that point and walk straight for that point. Don't look one way or the other. You got to look straight there. Right? You remember the account of Elijah, okay? I'm almost done. Elijah calls Elisha, okay? And Elijah puts the mantle on Elijah, and Elijah says, "Let me first go back and say goodbye to everybody." You know what? And you know what? Remember what Elijah said? Go do what you got to do. I'm not forcing you to do anything. It's a paraphrasing, right?
That's right.
I'm not, you know, for the sake of time. And I'm not forcing you to do anything. Go do what you got to do. And you know what Elisha did? Elisha went back, bid them farewell, went out, slaughtered those oxen that he was using to plow the field. He was plowing a field. And he slaughtered the oxen, and then he used the plow itself and started the fire and burned the cows, and then burned the oxen, and they ate the oxen. And once the plow was burned up and the oxen were gone, he runs after Elisha. Elijah. He ran after Elijah. Got to get him mixed up, right? But I'm just saying, he made a decisive break. It sounds the same. Let me first go and bid them farewell, but he meant what he was saying. The other guy obviously was looking for all kinds of excuses, and God used Elisha that said virtually the same thing, but Elisha made a clean break, decisive, went by, say by, kiss mom, you know, shake dad's hand, hug sister, and cook the oxen, and I'm off, done. Okay, decisive. He's being decisive. And so let me ask you this, okay? You know what most people want? They want to follow the Lord with one foot.
That's right.
And they want they want their life.
Come on, that's with exactly the other foot. Right. Yes, sir.
And that's what Jesus is making the distinction. You haven't thought this through. It's not going to work, okay? You're not going to be able to plow a straight line. You're not going to be able to get the job done. Do you want to follow the Lord? You want to follow him? Then the time is now. You just got to make a decision, and you can't put it off, and you can't forget about the bathroom, forget about the plumbing, forget about the electrical work, forget about all the things that you have to, you know, as soon as I get a new mixing bowl, you know, ladies, you know, or whatever, and, then I'll do it. No, the time is, you got to think it through. Be willing to pay the price. I guarantee you, I'm a satisfied customer. I wouldn't give it up for anything. With all the hazards, I haven't even touched what Paul has touched.
No, gosh, no.
I haven't even come close. But it's been a blessing. Okay. Do you want to follow? Are you willing? Are you willing to follow him? If you're not willing to follow him, are you willing to pray and ask God to help you be willing?
That's right. That's good.
Lord, I am just not willing. I never really realized that. Lord, bottom line is I'm not willing. Dear God, would you help me to be willing? I want to be willing. Anyway, that's the prayer. Well, Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you just search the hearts.
Help us, dear God. And help us, Lord, if we're not willing, help us to just be willing to be willing. Yeah. And work with wherever each person is in their walk, Lord, we're all on a journey. And some of us are maybe a few steps ahead of other folks. But, Lord, nevertheless, every single person in this room is on a journey following you.
Yes.
Lord, help us to follow you with all our heart. And Lord, I'm asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A couple things now, folks. Listen.